The recording has started.
Great. Welcome, everyone, to the 76th CWG Stewardship Meeting on the 4th of February. It's now 16:03 UTC. And I have Natalie on audio only. Do I have anyone else on audio only at this time? Okay, seeing as there's no one else on audio only, we will take roll call from the Adobe Room as usual, and I will turn it over to the chairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Grace. This is Lisa Fu. I will chair the first part of the meeting, and Jonathan Robertson, my co-chair, will chair the other part, and I'll chair item 1, 2, and 3, and he'll do the rest. And welcome, everyone, to this 76th meeting. We still have a lot of issues to discuss, but we find the key issue or the key objective of this meeting is actually to deal with the ICANN bylaws that relate to the CWG stewardship. We have the response table where Jonathan sent an email to you reminding you to have a look at it, and we would like to go into more depth with this table on this call. Furthermore, some of you might have heard about the transition costs that relates to both the CWG and the CCWG work. We will also be discussing this, but we will discuss it under item 4. And since I know that Greg Shutton cannot stay for the whole call, he can only stay the first half hour, we will have item 3, IANA IPR, as the second item, and move implementation update as item number 3 instead. Sorry for this reshuffling of the subject, but it seems necessary in order to have Greg give an update on the IPR. And with that, I'll ask if there's anything to the agenda or any questions. Doesn't seem like it. Then we'll go ahead and start with the IANA IPR. And I'll hand it over to you, Greg, to give an update on the IPR issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. The IANA IPR at this point stands as follows. We've had meetings with the collaborative group with the CRISP and IANA plan teams, the protocol and numbers teams, having adopted as a starting point of our work the example principal terms that IETF kindly provided with the and working forward on those with a goal decided to have the new owner of the IPRB, the IETF trust. We have marked up the example principal terms, and it's due to be commented on over the next few days by members of the collaborative team. And then I think at that point we'll need to probably circulate a draft publicly. We've moved to a publicly archived mail list for the that work as well, since it's now more directed on a particular IPR subject. At this point, really still waiting for, we've had comments from Andrew Sullivan, but there are a number of other folks involved in the looking at the document, still waiting to kind of see which, if any, points kind of remain open what issues need to be discussed and brought back to the CWG for determination of the CWG's position on these open issues. So I'm looking forward to having a call. I think we have a call on Monday at 0700 UTC to go over the document. Then we'll be able to, as I say, follow the path that I've just outlined. That's pretty much it for the moment, but I'll be on call. Happy to take any questions in the chat or online.
Thank you, Greg, and I also noticed that Grace has linked to the icons in the chat. Any questions for Greg? No, it doesn't seem like it. Thank you, Greg, for a good update.
My pleasure.
We will move on then to the implementation update, where we have ICANN staff, where Trang will be presenting the update. We also have a special guest star that will give us some of the SLE data parsing. This will also be a part of this update, but Trang will tell you a lot more about this. So I'll hand it over to Trang to give first the general presentation, and then we'll hear about the SLE data parsing. Thank you. Trang?
Thank you, Lisa. Hello, everyone. As Lisa mentioned, we do have a guest on the call today with us, Mark Blanchett from Viagene, who has been working on the data parsing for the SLEs, will be presenting his work and some of his findings. So I will keep my update portion short to allow Mark some time to present his work and then answer any questions that you may have. Next slide, please. So for the status update this week on the RZMS project and the work to support parallel testing, we are still on track to complete that work by the end of March. And in fact, we think that we may be able to complete that work even sooner than that. On the NAMES SLEs project, we are still on track, again, to complete the RZMS code changes to accommodate the SLEs by the end of this month. So that work is still on track, and in fact, we're looking to see if we can pull that in a bit more, but we certainly are on track to get that work completed by the end of the month. On the data parsing side, as I mentioned, Mark Blanchett is on the phone with us today, and he's going to be presenting on the work that he's done and some of his findings. On the RZMA, we reported on the last call that we may have to push the planned completion date out to allow sufficient time for discussion and finalization of the draft RZMA. And in fact, we do have to do that and have reflected here for you the new planned completion date of February 29th. We are still very actively engaging with VeriSign and are working hard on finalizing the agreement. We just need the additional time to do so. So that's reflected here. As you can see, the red box is indicating that we did not meet the previously communicated plan completion date at the end of January, but we believe we're on track to be able to meet the new plan completion date of February 29th, or we're working very hard to meet that date. Thank you. On the PTI, we are continuing to work on drafting the implementation plan. In addition, there's a few other things that we've been working on. We're working on selecting a name for the PTI entity, which we will, of course, share with the CWG. We have also started to work on drafting an annex to the ICANN PTI contract to incorporate the names SLAs. The annex and, of course, along with the draft ICANN PTI contract will, of course, also be shared with the CWG when they are ready. Another thing that we'd like to flag for you regarding the PTI project is that we moved the date of the incorporation of PTI to the end of March. when we created the project plan for PTI, we anticipated that the proposals would be delivered to the ICANN board by the end of January. And then based on that day, we set the incorporation time frame as middle of February. But since the CWG chairs issued a blog this week anticipating that they will obtain chartering organizations signed off on the CCWG proposal in Marrakesh, we pushed the date of incorporation to the end of March. Since the incorporation process is not on the critical path, we do not anticipate that this change in the plan completion date will have any material impact to the transition. Next slide, please. Thank you. On the RZERC, we have begun working on defining the scope of the committee and on drafting the implementation plan. So that work has just started, and similarly for the CSC, we've also started to work on drafting the implementation plan. We're also reviewing the CSC charter in close detail to see if there are any areas that may require further clarification. And then, so that's the updates for the CSC and RZERC. Next slide, please. On the bylaws, as I mentioned before, as per the CCWG has a new timeline, and per that timeline, we've adjusted the dates for the bylaws accordingly. So essentially, what we had anticipated before was that the bylaws drafting would need to be completed within a 4 to 6 week timeframe after the proposals are delivered to the ICANN board to allow sufficient time for a 42-day comment period and then incorporation of any public comments into the bylaws and then get that finalized within roughly the anticipated 90-day period that NTIA requires for the review of the proposal. So we've made adjustments to the bylaws drafting date based on the new CCWG date. And that concludes my updates for this week. Lisa, I will turn it back to you and take any questions.
Thank you, Trang. Is there any questions for Trang? I don't see any. Well, thank you, Trang, for a very informative, as usual, update. Oh, I see Jonathan has his hand up. Jonathan, go ahead.
Thanks, Lisa. I'm not sure how well formulated my question is. I'm just seeing the work on the review of the CSC charter, also the thoughts on the bylaws, timing. I think we're going to have to – I know you – I wonder if Trang, if you or anyone in your group has – had a look through the document that we are working on with a series of questions in and around the bylaws. And I'm just thinking, really, we'll have to figure out how we work together with you on that so that the whole thing stays coordinated. And that may need a call offline in addition to these updates just to make sure we stay joined up with you. But have you had a chance to look over those at all?
Hi, Jonathan. So I am aware of that document. Grace obviously has shared it with us. I have to admit that I have not reviewed it in close detail. We are tracking the conversations in the CWG mail list relating to the CSC. There's been a lot of exchanges recently around that. So we're tracking those conversations. And making sure that we take that into consideration as we are drafting the implementation plan. But certainly would welcome, an offline conversation to further discuss how we may, better or more closely coordinate around the CSC.
Okay, thanks, Trang. I think it's just making sure that the work is neither duplicated nor that anything falls between the cracks. But we'll come to some of this when we talk about the bylaws. Work later in this call. So I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Well, thank you, Trang. I actually have a question regarding you said the RCMA and the PTI has been missed the targets. And some is, of course, because of the CCWG not having a proposal yet. But are there any implications of those delays?
So on the RZMA, our goal is to try to get that finalized before we start parallel testing. And, you know, both VeriSign and ICANN are very aware of that and are very and are working hard towards getting that finalized as soon as possible. For the PTI, we didn't necessarily miss the date to incorporate PTI. I believe we could still do that by the mid-February timeframe. However, we pushed it out. The reason we pushed it out is because we don't we have been viewing the board's approval or the board's transmission of the proposals to NTIA as sort of a trigger point for us to move ahead with incorporating an affiliate for ICANN. And so that's why we moved that because of the CCWG's new timeline, moved that back to the end of March. As I mentioned, that is not on a critical path, so we do not anticipate that would have a material impact on the transition.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful. Okay, any other questions to Trang? If not, I'll hand it over to Mark Blanchett to go through the data passing in relation to SLE. And I'll just note that I have a question from Paul Kane regarding the data passing, because the group that's working on the SLE is asking also to have the raw data. So with that in mind, we can have a look at this report. Thank you. Mark?
Hello, everybody hear me? Can you confirm someone?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, cool. So next slide. So the scope, the wording of the scope of this work is to see if the 11 SLAE metrics that were identified by the working group in the document cited below has been, can be applied or approximated to the current INA combined RZMS and RT system. And it's actually especially appropriate for this study that we are saying RZMS and RT because we work together, and sometimes data is available in one or the other and things of that. So we have to think about the whole system as a combined one. The 11 metrics are listed in the appendix of this presentation if you have any questions. Next slide. So the way we did the study is ICANN has provided secured access to a clone of the IANA RT4 and RZMS database on a virtual machine. And they also provided some documentation, you know, design and stuff, technical documentation of those. Oliver has any documentation, and obviously since it's kind of on the surface a simple system, but in fact a complex system on, you know, under the hood, then we have some, you know, communications back and forth with ICANN staff about clarifications of specific states or stuff like that. All statistics presented in the study were done by programming scripts querying the RZMS and RT database. Obviously, it's there's a large amount of data there, so we were not, you know, we didn't verify every possible ticket and every possible statistic because it would take, you know, years to do. So we did some random sampling of the tickets and spot checks, especially for the weird or exceptional cases that we've found, and we manually verify the output. So obviously, what is an intuitive process that we did that, you know, make the heuristics and approximations better and better as we went. Next slide. A few considerations and limitations of the study. So RZMS, the web interface, was put in production around April 2011, before it was RT being used. So, and our study was started on December 18, where we get access to the VM, as I described before. So to avoid unstable tickets, meaning tickets that were spanning, you know, between, you know, before those dates or after, we limit the study to the tickets from January 1st, 2012 to November 30th, 2015, so which is almost 4 years of tickets. Category 5 requests, which were, as you may remember, the ones that are, special, were not analyzed because they would require each of them a manual analysis, and I don't think that's the real reason of this study. Root server requests also were not analyzed because they were, really too special and do not fit with our understanding of the you guys want to analyze. So, and obviously only the 11 metrics were analyzed, no dashboard requirements were looked at. Next slide. The current system doesn't distinguish between ccTLDs and gTLDs, and obviously category 3 and 4 were identified as for gTLD and ccTLD. Obviously, with some heuristics such as two-character TLD, one can distinguish ccTLD and gTLD, but IDN ccTLD and IDN gTLD are more complicated to distinguish because there is no way. So you have to look at another registry or something that tells you which one is which. And roughly speaking, the current system doesn't distinguish between those two, between ccTLD and gTLD. Seems to be not designed for that. Many instances, we found many instances where multiple tickets were merged together for various, reasons. And that creates a pretty complex situation to analyze and parse automatically. So for those cases, consequence is that we may have less reliable statistics because they have, when they were independent, they had their own thread and states and emails and, being populated in the tickets. And then when you merge into one ticket, it all make it completely puzzled. So it's kind of more difficult. Therefore, we have found some instances where we were able to make the appropriate heuristic work, but we're pretty sure that some didn't work because of the complexity of this. Next slide. The metrics identified for PTI, the semantics may be interpreted in different ways, especially regarding the current process, how we map it to the current process. So, for example, we found that for two metrics, ICANN staff had a different interpretation than we had of the precise meaning of the matrix, the detail. Actually, what does that mean in the actual system? And maybe the interpretation, the understanding of the actual metric itself. So the study itself, the report, will contain at least a detailed interpretation of our interpretation and will be documented. So at least people, see what we have understood and how we found the statistics of those metrics based on our interpretation. If obviously the interpretation is someone else's interpretation is different, then obviously the statistics would be different. RZMS and RT seems simple on surface, but in fact it's pretty complicated and has a lot of states and stuff in it. Obviously, one of the issues we had was that anything that is related to a change of state where there were email interactions were obviously more difficult to process by script. So, for example, when the contacts are requested to confirm their request, they have a template and they should, follow the template, which is I accept or something like that. But obviously sometimes people reply by I agreed, please proceed, okay, all kind of stuff. So you need kind of an AI, system to parse those. So, it would have been better or easier for us to parse and get the right metrics if all interactions, were done through the web interface and the email were just for, logging and reporting what's going on. But, that's where we are. Next slide. Regarding categories, so the working group defined five categories. They are currently not tagged in this current system. So with some heuristics, we were able to classify most tickets with, pretty good reliability, but many complicated cases bringing, you know, potential unreliable statistics. For example, sometimes tickets start with, you know, that looks like a one category, but then evolves to another one, and then it makes the structured parsing more difficult to achieve. So to remove that potential unreliability of stats, we actually decided not to use the categories for the study. And instead, we grouped the metrics were subdivided into two or three groups that sometimes resemble categories to provide better metrics. For example, things such as the fact that it's on CCTLD or GTLD were not used, again, for those reasons. The fact that a ticket was zone changing ticket versus only contact tickets. Often zone changing tickets also include contact tickets. Contact info change. So if you're looking for statistics related to the contact change within those tickets, it's kind of convoluted with the rest of the process within the zone changing process itself. So next slide. Delegation and relegation requests, category 3 and 4, are a pretty complex process with multiple external interactions. Some of them are even not, fully documented or described in the current system. So obviously for those, the statistics are much less meaningful or have a large variation of duration that seem kind of weird, but when you look at the tickets, it looks fine. It's just difficult to parse given the complexity of the actual interaction processes themselves. Next slide. So what we did is for each metric, so the 11 metrics, we provide in the report our detailed interpretation of the metric, how we did the approximation, statistics of the tickets based on that approximation, so minimum, maximum, average, median, and standard deviation, and for a few tickets, other statistics for giving another perspective on it. And the discussion on the findings. So, for example, such as inspection of random tickets, maximum duration tickets, the special tickets. So we were trying to find why the approximation worked or didn't work, or, for example, worked, but the duration was very large. So and then manual inspection gives us the clue of why it works and actually give us comfort of that the heuristic works even in those exceptional cases. Next slide. So a summary, we were unable to meaningfully approximate the metric number 8. And again, the numbering is also in the appendix of this presentation, so if you want to refer. There is a large variation of durations of 3 tickets, 2, 6, and 7. There is a large variation, but very few exceptional cases, 3, 9, 10, and 11. So if we remove the exceptional cases, then it's a small variation. So, not too much variation on the duration for 3 tickets. So obviously, the variation of duration is not a measure of the reliability of the approximation. In some cases, it's just the inherent property of the test. For example, manual reviews duration are obviously, varied depending on the different interaction of external interactions with people. So it's, by default, it is obvious that it could be very variable in terms of duration at test. Next slide. So finding in summary, the IANA current system are not currently designed to report the SLM metrics as requested by the community for most of the cases. Some heuristics were implemented that provide, pretty good approximations for most metrics, as you saw in the kind of summary. For some metrics, actually, the approximation is less conclusive. And obviously, this is kind of work that, we could do further more complex heuristics, and it would improve the approximations of the metrics. But you know, then the question is how much time, you know, anyone wants to put on this, and so it's a question mark. The system itself has a pretty good level of complexity to support all cases, and we were actually surprised, even if we know what RZMS does, it's actually a complex piece of software and states. And last is, you know, interactions using email creates much more difficulties for parsing and heuristics. Good examples are when contacts come through and request with a large variety of text that only a human can really interpret. So that's it for me. Any questions, or back to you, to the chair?
Thank you, Mark. I actually have a question, because you're talking a lot on the slides about we chose to go with some categories and not with other categories. The we, is that together with the working group, or is that you as a consultant? Was this work done in close cooperation, or how was it done? I'm asking a question because Paul Kane is not here. So,
sure. We means the team that work on the study. The Agenie team.
The team that worked on the study, that's including the people from the CWG?
No, actually, just the contractor, if you want.
Just the contractors. Okay. Okay, thank you. Good. I don't know if there's any other questions for this, because unfortunately the lead on our design team, well, Kane is not here, so we will have him go through it and come back to you. But I see Jonathan has his hand up, and Chuck also. Go with you, Jonathan, first. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I was just chatting a little bit with Paul. He's traveling, and he was saying he was – I think what would be most useful to shortcut any indirect routes is that he should probably have a direct call with either with the relevant staff and under whoever's working on this. He did say to me he thought they were looking for the data, the raw data, but I think it's better that the contact. So I think what we need to do is ensure that there's some sort of follow-up and discussion, and that clarifies whether or not this meets the expectation, or can be in some way meeting the expectation of what the DTSLE group was looking for. Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you, Jonathan. I see in the notes that Paul Kane should have, but I would like it to actually be the design team on the SLE as such, as they are a team, including Paul, of course. Chuck, go ahead.
Thanks, Lisa, and thanks for the presentation. I fully endorse Lisa's and Jonathan's suggestions for the call with the SLE team and Paul, including Paul. But based on this, it looks like the data that's obtainable for a large number of the 11 metrics is not very reliable. Does that mean that a lot of coding will have to be done to be able to provide good measurements of the metrics? Should I assume that some of the metrics may not even be achievable in the near term? I don't know if anybody can even answer those questions, but they're the ones that are running through my head right now.
Lisa, this is Trang. May I respond to both Jonathan?
Yes, of course. Go ahead, Trang.
Thank you. With regards to Paul's request for a call, we can certainly arrange that and I can certainly take the action item to reach out to Paul to get that scheduled. Paul's request for the raw data is something that he has raised to us in the past, and we have communicated to him why our concerns around that and why that may not be possible. And instead of providing the raw data, has suggested that we engage a contractor, which is by Agony, to actually go into our system and databases and perform the work Paul is looking to have done. So essentially what Mark just presented to you is the work that we had informed Paul that we would do because we could not provide what is considered confidential data to an external party who could be conflicted. So that's in response to sort of Paul's questions about the raw data. And then Chuck, in response to your question around whether or not we are going to be able to collect data as per the 11 metrics that has been defined, that's actually the reason why we have been working on making code changes to the RZMS in order to be able to collect the data as per defined by the working group. So that's the work that we've been doing, and that's the work that we anticipate will be completed by the end of this month. So by the end of this month, our RZMS system will be able to collect the data per the 11 metrics that's been defined.
Thank you, Trang. I have a question regarding the confidential data, because for me, I'm a little puzzled by data that goes in the IANA databases. Needs to be confidential regarding how long the response time is. Of course, you can have personal data that you don't want to reveal, but isn't it possible to anonymize it? Trang?
Hi, Liz. Yes. So, in response to your question, I think we have internally looked at that and had considered whether or not that was possible at all. And I don't know if David Conrad can speak to this, but it was something that was difficult for us to be able to accommodate such a request, and that's the reason why we've had a few conversations with Paul King about this and ended up making the suggestion that we bring on a contractor to do the work instead.
Okay, but
this is David Conrad. If the data is anonymized, then it is not raw.
I can see Andrew is actually mentioning the same, but for me it's more, what do you want to use the data for it more than if you want to see it for response time and SLE, who's asking might not be such a important question. So I know you will not deliver raw data, but it might be data that's useful for the purpose. But I don't think we should discuss any more about raw data here. I would leave that to the design team to have this conversation with you and get back to the group. Are there any other questions or comments for this? And if not, I will I'll hand it over to Jonathan to discuss CCWG update, and we have quite a lot of issues to discuss with you, not only regarding that, but also of course our bylaws. Jonathan, go ahead.
Thanks, Lisa. Happy to do so. So I think there's a couple of points to make here. We had a useful update and coordination call with the co-chairs of the CCWG yesterday. It's clear that the group is still trying to work with some significant challenges and get through some important points, not specifically to do with the work of this group, in fact. But I think where that's relevant is that they are working to particularly tight deadlines and their work has, as you well know, most of you, if not all of you, that their work has spilled over into this new year, new calendar year, and has therefore, you know, they're working up against tight deadlines. We covered with them the and touched on the two key areas of dependency that they've been working on in relation to our work, and it's really summarized on the document you see in front of you, the various points that have been dealt with. But I guess most recently they were focused on ensuring that that the work on the IANA budget was sorted out, and there was a joint group of people that I mentioned in the email working on that. And then there was the combined solution that needs to be drafted to deal with the ILP process. So that's all essentially covered in the tracking sheet that's in front of you and that's been circulated to the group. What we haven't got is, of course, the final wording. And I think Grace's email that was sent out yesterday from memory did cover that process as to how that would work. So let me check. I think that was covered in the email that Grace sent out to this group. So I guess really the main point for me is we've worked pretty closely. We're waiting to hear the final outcomes. There will be limited scope for further rework. So the essence is really, I guess from the chair's point of view in managing this, our desired outcome would be that there were no further iterations to this. Of course, if there is a substantial or material concern, then we will need to deal with that. But for the most part, the document you see in front of you that summarizes that and the final details should be something you're able to follow and check with and make sure that we are satisfied that the dependencies are met. And Grace rightly points out in the chat that there are revisions there's work, it's sort of work in progress to get the final text, so we will need to see these in front of the group. And I guess that ties into our logistics. Depending on where those stand, that may impact our need or not for a further meeting. But I mean, Grace summarizes the process that the CCWG is working to in the chat on the left-hand side of your screen. So that summarizes where we are in terms of our work on dependencies with the CCWG. Are there any questions or comments in relation to that? Chuck, go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. It's unfortunate that Paul Kane's not able to join us, but I understand why he cannot. I have, regarding the budget, I get the impression that he's concerned about something that is maybe a different approach than what's in our proposal in terms of the PTI budget. I don't know if it would be helpful if we can arrange a call with him and you and Lisa, myself, anybody else that wants to be involved, to make sure we're on the same page. I tried to ask some questions via email to make sure I'm understanding correctly how to address his concern, but that doesn't seem to be working real well, at least it hasn't so far. So I guess my suggestion is maybe it would be helpful if we can arrange a call between the co-chairs and Paul and myself and anybody else who's interested to see where he's at, because I think we propose a little different approach for ensuring continuous funding of the PTI than what Paul wanted to see, and we talked about the kind of thing he was talking about in the design team a long time ago, but it still seems to be an issue. So to be able to put this to bed more quickly, my suggestion would be some sort of a call, unless in the next day or so we're able to get clarity from Paul in terms of what his concern is. I hope that makes sense.
Yes, it does. Lisa, I know you've had some contact with Paul recently. Are you clear on this, or do you think it? I'm very happy to do what Chuck suggests if necessary. It's unfortunate that Paul couldn't be on the call because it would save some moving around. But nevertheless, if that's what's necessary, I'm happy to work with you and Chuck on this.
Yes, I think it would be good. Sorry to interrupt, but I think it would be good to have a call with Paul because he. I have the impression that he's a little concerned about the ring-fencing of the IANA budget and how to ensure that. And it might be a matter of how to perceive the process and how it's put into the CCWG proposal. So I think we might have this call and then try to discuss it.
Okay, let's do that then. Let's Grace, I suggest that we take an action exactly as you've got there. That's right, perfect. So we'll set up a call as soon as possible, really, tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, using a Doodle or whatever relevant tools are necessary, and try and get together quickly and deal with this. Okay, thanks. Any other comments or questions in and around the work of the CCWG as it relates to the dependencies that we have on that work? There is one other point in relation to the CCWG that's worth raising. It's very much a work in progress at this stage and early, but there has been a concern raised by really through the Board Finance Committee, who's become concerned the extent to which the costs of the transition are departing from those from the budgeted costs. There are a number of contributions to that overrun, but a significant factor in all of that is the legal fees incurred through the work of the CCWG most recently, through the work of the external lawyers that ICANN has instructed, and to some extent the work that we have instructed, although that's much less material in recent times. But there's a concern being raised. There is a plan to get together with some or all of the ICANN board members, certainly the Board Finance Committee, and the board chair, together with the chairs of both the CCWG and the CWG, that's Lisa and myself, and also, in fact, the chairs of the chartering organizations, the SOs and ACs that have been responsible for chartering these groups, to talk about really two things at a high level. One, how to better manage costs and ensure that, at minimum, we are better able to predict the costs and ideally better able to control the costs collectively. And secondly, probably to think about, start the conversation at least about how those costs might be met. So that conversation is, there's a meeting scheduled for Tuesday next week, 2200 UTC. So I think the group needs to be aware of this in case you hear rumor or other information about it. Lisa and I have been asked to join that meeting, and we will. It throws up a number of issues, including, I guess the reason I and we wanted to raise that now is because the next item on our agenda is talking about the bylaws, which will be commissioning potentially or almost certainly external legal work. And so that dynamic of costs and budgets needs to be we need at least to be mindful of that as we think about any work we do. So I thought I'd mention that in the context of the joint work with the CCWG, and I guess at this stage we can probably see if there are any other questions or comments there.
Hi, Jonathan. This is Alyssa Cooper. I'm sorry I'm not in Adobe Connect. I had a different point to raise just before you wrap on this item.
Go ahead, Alyssa.
Just wanted to give you all a heads up that in light of the statement from the CCWG co-chairs, the ICG has just had some discussion about our own wrap-up process, and our intention, as you know, has been to seek confirmation from the CWG to confirm whether the CCWG meets your requirements once their proposal has been concluded. And so our expectation is that we will do that when the CCWG proposal goes out to the chartering organizations. So just wanted to flag that for you because, you know, I presume by that time the CWG will have, concluded itself that its requirements have been met. But obviously an expedient reply from you back to the ICG when you receive that question from us would be in everyone's interest. So just wanted to give you a heads up that that's, our plan is to ask you for confirmation when the proposal goes back to the chartering organization.
Thanks, Alyssa. That's very helpful to have that nudge or reminder of that point. I wonder if it's probably useful to remind the group, I know it was covered in the blog, but of the of that timing then, because if the time that the CCWG report goes to the chartering organization is, I think it's anticipated to be a couple of weeks before the Marrakesh meeting. From memory, it's somewhere like mid-February, around a couple of weeks from now. Is that correct? Could we just confirm that so we got that that expectation right for the timing?
Yes. So that would be the idea, is that, basically we want to ask you that question once their proposal is, finalized and isn't expected to change anymore. And so that's that same point when it goes off to the chartering organizations. So, yes, it should be sometime this month.
Yeah. Okay, good.
If all goes to plan, obviously.
Understood. All right. That's helpful. And then there's a question in the chat from Donna as to what the process we undertake with Sidley in regard to managing costs and what the kind of conversations have taken place. Well, this is interesting because really we've had the way in which this works within the CWG and the CCWG is slightly different. But as you know, we in this group have run a client committee through which all instructions to the law firms have gone, and we've used that specifically in mind. We started that out with cost control in mind, as well as effective management of the legal resources. We've talked with Sidley about costs at different times in different ways in the past, one of the things we had started to do, although there was some resistance from them for logical reasons, was to seek quotes on the work before commissioning it. So we knew we had an indication of the cost. So it's my what we haven't always had is a good circle of the relationship between what you would normally have in a sort of more conventional setting, I suppose, where you seek a quote, you get some response on the work, you in a timely fashion see the bill, you're able to correlate that bill with the work. There's that cycle, the bill, because the bills go into ICANN, they're not necessarily detailed, and we're not necessarily seeing them in a timely way. There has been that issue. That said, over the last while, we have not had any significant work running with Sidley, whereas there is significant work running with Jones Day and Sidley via the CCWG, Jones Day via the ICANN staff as external advisors to ICANN, and Jones Day as external advisors to the CCWG, sorry, Sidley and getting the name of the other firm. There are two firms engaged with the CCWG. We don't have that second firm. I must say, I've rarely seen a lawyer's, but don't ask if we've been surprised by the bills. I could say that, I mean, there's two issues here. One, the reporting hasn't been that regular or that easy to track. But to the extent that we have seen them, when and if we have seen the bills, I'm never not surprised by the size of them, I suppose. But realistically, we haven't had a lot going on in that respect for the last couple of months. Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to note that the concern of the board and the board finance committee certainly is real, but of the very brief numbers that were given in the invitation, less than half of the total costs are for external legal costs. So clearly they are concerned about external legal costs, but it's not limited to that. And it's interesting because as a volunteer leader in ICANN, I have on a semi-regular basis tried to get a handle on what certain things cost, and we've never really had any answer back on that. And now that appears to be a major part of the focus. So I think it's going to be an interesting consultation. And you know, it's not always clear that volunteer managers can manage the overall cost, but in the past we've had no indication whatsoever of what those costs were, and that makes it clearly a lot more difficult. So it's going to be interesting. But just to point out, external legal costs are certainly a major component of it, but at this point the estimates are under half. So this is a wider discussion than just controlling external legal costs. Thank you.
That's right, Alan. Thank you for that. It's a good point. I mean, essentially, the fundamental concern of the Board Finance Committee is that the project to undertake and manage and work on the IANA transition is not going according to budget. The costs are in excess of budget. A major contributor to that is the external legal fees. But they are not the only, as you rightly point out, they are a fraction of the total. And there are other items that are also tracking well off budget. And so there's a bigger picture. But, you know, to the extent that we have commissioned external legal work, this group is part of that conversation. That's right, Donna, to your point in the chat, translation services are proportionately, perhaps even, or whilst they're not as large in quantum as the legal fees, they are quite significantly overrun, maybe as much as 100% over budget. But those figures will become clear as we talk with the Board Finance Committee and see what measures can be put in place to better manage this. The most important thing is to give this group an insight into the fact that Lisa and I have been drawn into that conversation in our capacity as co-chairs of this group, and B, to be mindful of cost as one factor when thinking about commissioning any further work. So let's use that as a segue into the next item, which is item 5 of this call, which deals with the bylaws relating to the CWG stewardship. Now, pertinent to what we were discussing previously, Sidley had previously spoken with the client committee and felt that given their background in working with us and in devising the whole proposal and where we'd come, their proposal was that they were best equipped to make the first draft of the bylaws pertaining to the work of this group, the ICANN bylaws pertaining to the work of this group. We in this group agreed and instructed Sidley through the client committee to make a first draft of those bylaws, which they duly did. In doing so, there were two things that came up, two key points really. One, that their draft contained a number of questions in it, and two, that this group felt that that was unduly lengthy. The bylaws needed to be brought down and weren't really that consistent with what Sidley had asked us to give a feedback on. Would we feel that it was more appropriate that some portions of that work were outside of the bylaws? And generally, that was our feedback. We would like to see a shorter version. And their response to that was, fine, we can do that, but that doesn't mean we still don't need you to help us with the questions and points we've posed in our first draft. So right now, this group's got, and then we've done some good work, particularly led by the relevant design team leads, in populating a table, which you see in front of you now, that deals with those questions, in which we've had some discussion on list over the last 24 hours. And so that's decent work. A question has been posed as to whether or not we consider using ICANN Legal to draft the bylaws, since they are fundamentally familiar with the operations and organization of ICANN. So there's really two key questions, I think, for this group to consider now is, one, how do we finish this work that we've got in front of us now? And two, do we continue down the path of using Sidley to make the first draft of the bylaws, or do we consider using ICANN Legal to make a first draft to then be reviewed by Sidley? Lisa and I talked about this, and I think on that second point, our view is that we should probably have a further conversation between the client committee and Sidley and make sure we understand the rationale and the likely program of work, and possibly even try and get some understanding of the cost. I'm pretty sure, if my memory serves me correctly, and I'd love to get confirmation of this, that we sought a quote originally on the drafting of these bylaws in any event. So I am almost certain that that's the case, and if anyone can remind me, that would be helpful. In any event, Grace confirms that we did. So we are working to a quote. And I think given that the amount of time that's passed, I mean, essentially it seems to me that it makes sense, and given the conversation that's going on costs, I think it makes sense, and I'd like the group's permission for the client committee to go back and have a half-hour update call or so with Sidley just to discuss where we are on these bylaws and the likely process going forward. In the meantime, so if does anyone have any concerns or objections with that, if you do, please let it be known. Otherwise, we will take it that we'll get the client committee, which is Lisa, myself, Greg Shatton, and Martin, to go back and talk. Thanks for your check mark in the chat, Cheryl. Any thoughts on how we go through this document? I know Martin has provided the most recent revision, Martin Boyle, that is, and in fact, in Martin Boyle's case, we do have that most recent revision up here. There are 17 pages of this document, not all of which are either controversial or need further input. So it probably makes sense for people to raise specific points rather than for us to go through it in fine detail. Martin, let me turn to you, Martin Boyle.
Thanks, Jonathan. It's Martin Boyle here. Going back to your earlier point about the bylaw drafting, I'm assuming that the CCWG, when it gets to the end of its process, will also have the same issue on bylaw drafting. So I just really want to get on the table the thought as to whether there is or not any advantage in there being a common pen being held for all the drafting points. As for the reason you asked me to take the floor, I'll give you a chance to respond to what I've just said, and then if you want me to lead off on the comments I've made on the document in front of us, then I'll be happy to do so. Thank you.
Apologies, Martin. Common pen was that with reference to dealing with this document or drafting of the bylaws?
It's the drafting of the bylaws in totality. So if you're going back to talk to Sidley with the client committee, I wonder whether there would be value in having a discussion with the CCWG co-chairs to find out what they think might be the preferred method for the rather extensive bylaw drafting that's going to come from the CCWG recommendation. Thanks.
That's a good question, Martin. And from memory, I think we discussed this. We certainly touched on it yesterday, and there are, in the discussion between the co-chairs of the two different groups, there are slightly different processes going on here, and there is an agreement, as I recall, between the CCWG co-chairs, ICANN Legal, and the external legal advisors as to how the drafting of the ICANN bylaws might go. In our case, we're specifically confined to bylaws pertaining to the creation and formation of the PTI and those key points that, you know, the specific points that emerged from the work of this group. And Sidley's argument being that they were very familiar with the genesis and development of the work of this group, and therefore were best positioned to make a first draft with the detailed understanding of both the sort of letter and spirit of what was intended, if you like. So I think they are slightly different. I hope that gives you an answer. I understand that there may seem to be a logic to dealing with the ICANN bylaws in total, and we should continue to discuss that with CCWG chairs, but I think the processes envisaged are slightly different.
Were you waiting for me to respond, Jonathan?
Yes, or to go ahead. I think that you're going to then either be satisfied with that respond or comment, and plus go on to any other points you want to raise, Martin.
Okay, thanks very much. All I wanted to do was flag that ensure that some discussion was going on between the two groups on commonality, whether there was any commonality. Yes, I agree with you that the draft bylaws that we've got in front of us, or the potential draft bylaws that we've got in front of us, are ones that have come from our work and therefore are probably quite clearly distinct from the work that the CCWG is doing. However, what I think worries me just a little bit is that there might be certain things in the design of, in particular, where things are going to be escalated or might need to be escalated, if they are covered in a slightly different way in different parts of the document, we might lose a certain degree of coherence in the final bylaws. But I'm generally happy with the way you're proposing.
Thanks, Martin. I'll just give a very brief response to that and then let you move on. That's a good point. I mean, another argument that Sidley have provided in general is that they are obviously, as external advisors to both CCWG and CWG, are therefore in a position to provide work that is coherent across the two groups. So hopefully with their expertise and involvement, they are able to do that, but it's a good point.
Okay, then thank you very much. If I sort of lead off with my chin on the document that's in front and the comments I submitted yesterday, I think as I raised at the last time we had a quick glance at this document, I can't remember when, was it last week, that my main concern is that we don't fall into a mode of working that if it's there as a recommendation, it goes into bylaws. And I think we should be quite strict about whether something does actually need to be enshrined in bylaws. And if it is enshrined in bylaws, to recognise that what we're actually doing is probably very effectively locking it down and preventing it from change. So anything where there is likely to be a degree of evolution coming from experience, then locking it down in bylaws is not a particularly good way of approaching. But I'd also say that we've got a similar problem, and that seemed to be coming up a little bit, on trying to pass, and this came out quite clearly in my mind for the CSC, of trying to tie rules of procedure down in a contract between ICANN and PTI. Again, I think that an awful lot of the discussion that we had in the CSC design team was all about the role of the design team, the role of the CSC itself, and a lot of that then came down to working effectively with PTI to ensure that any issues of difficulty were addressed. And so yesterday evening when I looked through this document and decided that I ought to at least get down the concerns that I vaguely referred to last call, it seemed to me that what I wanted to do was come in with something that was very much at a principle level. In other words, obliging PTI and ICANN to work to resolve issues with the CSC, but not to tell them how, and not to essentially constrain the way that the CSC can work most effectively with the community, with the PTI, with IANA, with ICANN, or with the community itself. So I think that's all I really want to say. Sorry, that was a bit long, but it seemed to me that we ought to be trying to get things as far down the chain as we possibly can, rather than constraining us and future generations to a particular mode of working. Thank you.
Thanks, Martin. And in the broadest sense, I think that's consistent with the sort of overarching instruction that we had given and will reiterate to Sidley, that the next iteration of these bylaws needs to be, to the extent that they can manage it, smaller in size and use references to external documents wherever possible for both the reasons of ease of use and sort of elegance of the bylaws, but also for the functional reasons you describe. And I noticed that Chuck put up a check mark when you were talking about talking in support of that kind of approach in general, and Cheryl, I see, records her support for that as well. Would anyone else like to raise any detailed points about this document? As you can probably detect, I'm a little reluctant to go through it line by line. There are some open questions and discussions, although I think we're relatively well resolved in most cases. I'm very willing for anyone to flag a particular point that they feel needs discussion, comment, or further work on it. And personally, I'm prepared to commit to go through it once myself and provide a final review. But has anyone else got any concerns that they've had on reading it or in response to Martin's further comments? A good question. Chuck asks, what is happening with the to be determined items? Go ahead, Grace.
So I had flagged certain items as to be determined, where I thought that in some cases these were things that had to be worked out with ICANN as part of implementation, because we didn't have the information necessarily as a CWG at this stage. So I don't have any progress to point to that. It's just that's why I flagged them as TBD.
I think it's a good point. I certainly gave some thought to the first one, the ordinary course. Will there be ordinary course asset dispositions? I mean, my initial feeling, for example, on that would be no. In the ordinary course of business, it shouldn't be something that's going on, and so that, but what one wouldn't want to do is so constrain PTI that there was some problem with it with the way in which the post-transition IANA could work. So it's really a matter of talking through that and understanding. So to that extent, on that example, I agree it's probably more of an implementation point as one discusses how things might operate on a day-to-day basis or year-to-year basis and how to cover that sort of detail. Well, my suggestion or proposal to you is that we take one final pass on it and see what we can wring out of this, and I'm prepared to do that as a co-chair, if you like. The DT leads have made their effort. Others have come in and commented. Staff have assisted where they can, and it probably needs a final review. I'm prepared to do that. And so it seems to me that the next steps are review and update the document, have a conversation with Sidley as to how this might proceed, mindful of both their original quote on costs and the overarching sensitivity that's come up on costs, and then finalize a way forward based on that and come back to the group reporting that. Bearing in mind, our current plan is, as I said at the outset, to reduce, simplify, answer all, well, let me say it in these three ways. Our current plan is, one, to provide best possible answers to these questions, to equip whoever is drafting the bylaws with those answers. Two, to instruct Sidley to then take those answers and produce a slimmed-down version of what they did previously. But three, prior to doing that, to have a conversation with Sidley and understand the likely scope, timing, and cost of that work consistent with the cost sensitivity that's going on. And then I guess finally to communicate that to the implementation team, which must by definition include ICANN, communication with ICANN Legal. All right, so unless there are objections or concerns, that feels like a way forward and the way to take this through the next steps. Our current plan, and I think I'll move us on then to the final item, which is an AOB, and our current plan under AOB really is just to flag that the next planned meeting for this group is exactly 2 weeks from now. 1600 UTC on the 18th of February. To the extent that there's a necessity to have a meeting sooner than that or to move it, we'll be in touch very shortly. But that's the currently planned next meeting of the group. Are there any other questions or comments or points for the group at this stage? So thanks, Grace, for the very good notes. I think I'd like to capture an action that there needs to be a client committee meeting between the client committee and Sidley to discuss next steps and process and costs for the evolution of the bylaws. Yeah, perfect. Thank you very much. Any other comments, questions, last call before we bring the meeting to a close? Thanks, everyone. That's useful. We'll try and keep things going and not take any more of your time then for the moment. Thanks for a useful meeting, and we'll be in touch on email.
Thanks, Jonathan. Thanks, Lisa. Bye.